Stand together as we read the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Thank you for that, ladies. That was tremendous. 1 Peter chapter 1. I encourage, if you're newer, we do have services on Sunday night at 5 o'clock, and I would encourage you to come back tonight, 5 o'clock. We do not go really, really long, but we encourage you to be here with us. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll start in verse number 22. First Peter. If you find Second Peter, take a left. Okay. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says this: seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord continueth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And let's pray this morning. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for your work in our lives. Lord, thank you for the service we've had so far, Lord. It's been a blessing singing songs and hearing the special by the ladies. I pray now, Lord, in these few minutes we have, that you would still our hearts. Help us as we look into your word to see that which you have for us. And speak to us directly as to what you would want us to do in our lives because of what we hear from your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Of course, we are in the new year. It's hard to believe. Maybe it was just Christmas the other day. Most of you are probably still trying to pay off your Christmas bills, right? But it's going to be February tomorrow. And the new year has started, and it's going pretty fast. And we started our new theme, Explore the Book. By the way, 1 month in, I'm still excited about it. And I'm very excited because of all the different testimonies I'm hearing from others who have this year committed to maybe get in their Bibles more than they ever have and been reading their Bibles and seeking to read it each and every day. Many of you are doing the weekly family devotions. We encourage you to do it at least every week. And our house, we do our whole family, our extended family, we do it on Saturday nights, and occasionally maybe one or two of the married couple aren't there or whatever, but we do it. And so I'm really excited about what God is doing through the Word of God. And I've been blessed in my life, and I'm blessed to hear that God's doing something in your life. Now, maybe you're one of the few that says, man, I meant to get off to a good start, but I kind of got derailed a little bit. Here's what you do. Get back on board. Okay, and get in your Bible, and it's going to be a tremendous thing for your life. And really, I mean this, and I've said it over and over, and I hope you just don't think I'm a broken record, but it's the truth. If we would get into the Word of God and make it a daily part of our life, most all of our problems would go away, and the ones that we can't cause to go away, we would be able to get through them. But it's all tied into the Word of God, and so I hope that you're getting into that and striving to be faithful. Many of you are striving with our little commitment, let's be faithful to church, and I'm excited about that. So thank you for really jumping in, and it's not just something we're going to throw up a banner and then we're done with it after a month. We're really going to continue to do that and get into the Word of God. I hope that we get to the place where the Bible means so much to us that you know, we don't have to be pushed to do it. We have to be in it each and every day. There was a recent survey that asked people how often they need to read their Bible to be satisfied. 29% of those polled said they need to read it daily or more to be satisfied. 40% said they need to read it once a week or more to be satisfied. 12% said once a month or more satisfies them. And 19% said something that is more than less than once a month. In other words, less than that, and they would be satisfied. So think about that. That means 71% of people, and they claim to be Christians, say that not reading their Bible daily satisfies them. By the way, we wonder why Christians have just as many problems as those that don't know the Lord. And God didn't just save us to take us to heaven. God has something better for us here. But if we don't get in His Word, we miss out on it. And so that's why we've been promoting that. The more we get into the Bible, the more we will know it. The more we know it, the more it's a part of our lives. There was a great missionary. His name was Jonathan Goforth, a great missionary to China. There's a couple little books about his life. One of them is called By My Spirit. I don't remember the little one. But I read that many years ago. They're really good books. He's a tremendous missionary. And as he got older in his life, and in his last years, his eyes were dim. He couldn't read the Bible. He had a Bible college there that he worked with. And so what they did to help him out in his last years of his life, they would bring these students in to read the Bible to him because he couldn't do it himself. And his wife said he knew the Bible so well, if they missed a word or they did something wrong, he would immediately stop and correct them. You missed a word. You said that word wrong. He knew it that well. And I hope that we're growing in that and we're learning about the Word of God. Today we're continuing our series on Explore the Book. And I want to look at the verses that we just read, and I want to encourage us this morning. The book, if you look at it, Peter said he was writing to the strangers or Christians in what today is really the land of Turkey, the cities he mentions in the first book, in the first couple of verses of the book. These people were people that during this time they were suffering greatly and being persecuted for their faith. And Peter talks a lot about that. But he also talks about relationships in the church. And he talks about in the verse we read, the first verse we read, they need to have love for one another. What hinders us from having that love for one another, especially among fellow Christians? Well, the same thing that hinders us from having the kind of life that God has for His children. It's our maturity level. How mature are we in our faith? If you've had multiple children, you've seen that. Particularly if you have children at the same age, you know, they have trouble getting along with one another. Why? Because that's what they are. Now, my children are a little bit more grown now, but now that we've kind of transported them into a different stratosphere, now we have the grandchildren over the house all the time. And Anne and Charlie are pretty, Charlotte, they're kind of close to the age. And sometimes, believe it or not, being 4 years old and being 2 years old, they struggle getting along. Kind of like you and your spouse, right? But they struggle getting along. Why? Their maturity level is very low. And then we have a grandson. Thank you, Ryan. We have a grandson, Jason. And we have a granddaughter, Ellie. They're both one. You put them together, it's like World War III. They're over the house the other day, and Jason, he's a bit of a thug, you know, like his father. And she's sitting on the ground, and he just grabs something and bonks her on the head. Now, not hard enough to make her cry. So a few minutes later, I see Jason's on the ground. She grabbed a little cup out of his hand, and she bonked him on the head. I'm thinking, amen, that's how you work it, okay? Say, well, hey, they're bonking other kids in the nursery's head. I always said, you know, I'd rather have to teach my child to quit doing that than to teach my child to quit getting bonked on the head, all right? So, but it's a maturity thing. They have trouble getting along because they're now as they grow up. Hopefully Ellie and Jason, when they're 17 or 18, aren't hitting each other on the head. What? Their maturity level. And as we mature in our faith, a lot of things happen. And he talks here about relationships. Our relationships will be better. And we're not talking about relationships today. That's just a picture he's picturing for us. Relationships aren't the only problems people will have trouble with when we fail to mature. By the way, I'll be honest with you. We live in a time when we're ruining our kids and we're raising them up and they have no responsibility. The average 25, 26-year-old, they're not ready to get married. They're just not mature enough. Okay? I've been married for 30 years. Sometimes I wonder if I'm mature enough to be married. My wife is. She's very mature. But we just live in it. It's just no one wants to mature. And you're going to see that not just in relationships. You're going to see that in situations of life. Things come our way. We can't control it, but we need to deal with it. If we're immature, we don't deal with it correctly. Problems come our way. By the way, we have responsibilities that we're supposed to take care of in our life. It's a shame that most parents aren't responsible enough to take care of their children. We want to get married and we still want to act like single people. We want to have children and still act like we're not parents. I got married when I was, I'm not going to say anything. I can't say now because then you'll figure out my wife's age. Well, I was 22. She was like 12. I think that's what I'm supposed to say. Listen, when I signed on for that, I signed on for a new way of life. My wife was 19. Do the math. 30 plus 19. You're not 39 anymore. Keep telling me that. Yeah, I signed on. Brother Charles, I wasn't a single guy anymore. I don't act like a single guy. And then we started having children. I'm a parent now. Brother Pineda always says it, you know, jokingly. I always say, okay, guys, ladies' conference is coming. Fellas, you need to let your wife go and you need to babysit the children. Brother Pineda always says, it's not babysitting, it's called parenting. And he's right. But we're just not responsible. Why? Because we're not maturing. We want to act like little kids still. Now, by the way, there's just something about being, I love being a grandparent, but there's something about a grandparent that just says old. Are you with me? By the way, I'm not old. Everything was good in my 40s. And then a couple years ago when I hit 50, it's like that number. I mean, it was only one day difference. The day before, I felt great. I'm in my 40s, man. Then the next day, it's like, my neck hurts. And it's not because I've been married for 30 years, okay? My wife's not a pain in the neck. But it's like, listen, I'm still young for my age, right, Brother Pineda? Good, you're not going to be fired. Oh, God. That was a bad way to put it. I bailed you out there. But listen, I am who I am. I'm glad for the stage of life I'm at. You ought to be glad for the stage of life you're at. But the point is, we need to mature. We need to be what we're supposed to be. Now, spiritually speaking, that's what we're talking about. Let's mature in our faith. If we read the verses here, and by the way, chapter 2, the chapter headings and the verses are not inspired, although they're very helpful and they're very well done. But so chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2, goes with the end of chapter 1. But you know what Peter is saying? Grow up. Grow up. You know what God wants from us when we become Christians? Grow. That's what he wants. I don't want to be an immature Christian, just as I don't want to be an immature adult. When I got out of high school, I became a college student. I got out of high school early, okay, so let me go back on that one. But once I got out of high school age, became an adult, immediately started working, went off to college, got married. That's a stage of life I'm in. But let's mature as Christian. Let's grow up. Peter presents some pieces that are necessary to help us understand growing and maturing as Christian. Let me go through a few of them briefly this morning, and I hope that it helps you. I want you to notice, first of all, there's a preparation. Preparation. Before we can grow, we must be ready to receive that growth. We must be ready to accept that growth so we can get on that path and start growing into what God wants us to grow into. He mentions two areas here that have to be in place if we're going to be prepared. The first of all, he mentions redemption, verse 23 of chapter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Of course, that's the starting place. You can't grow until you've been born. We need to be born again. We need to be saved. If you're new here this morning and you come and say, man, I like the principles that are taught here. I like the spirit of the service. I like to come. Let me ask you something. Let me say this. I'm glad you are, but I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't let you know the most important thing in your life needs to be trusting Christ as your Savior. Without that, nothing else is going to help. Many years ago, I always was a single. When we started the church, I was youth director, and I had the singles class. And pastor came to me, I think it was 2000, and said, I want you to start a couples class. So took my singles class, split that up. I started a couples class. There was a couple that started coming. I knew the girl, she had been here before. She had come back to church, and she had her husband now. And so, you know, we kind of like, hey, we're starting a couples class. Why don't you guys come? They started coming regularly. Went by the house on several occasions and witnessed to it. By the way, faithful. This guy and his wife, but they were faithful, faithful, faithful. And kept coming, so kept going by, took him out. He wasn't saved, and he would not get saved. Kept talking to him like everybody. I think my wife went over there to visit his wife. She witnessed. I would. Everybody did. I remember when I asked him, I said, well, let me ask you this. I mean, you don't want to trust Christ. Why do you keep coming? He says, because I think the things you teach in the class and the things we talk about the family, I think that'll help my family. But can I just tell you something? He didn't stick around. And let me just tell you something. He's no longer with that family. You see, we need to be born again. You can't grow if you're not saved. And let me say this. If you're unsure about that, you need to take care of that first and foremost. So I don't care what you're doing. I want you to trust Christ. That's the key thing. And he mentions that in there. Listen, we're supposed to, but we have to be born again. And he mentions the Word of God because the Word of God is that which tells us how we can be born again. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. We're not making this stuff up out of the top of our head. We're telling you what the Bible says all throughout the Bible. And so I would encourage you, you're not going to grow in your faith. You say, man, I've been coming and I'm trying to get in the Bible. I don't understand what it's saying. I'll tell you why. There's a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. But the natural man receiveth not the things that are of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Bible will never make complete sense to you unless you've trusted Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's not just something you add to what you have. Well, you know, I followed this before, and okay, I'll add Jesus to what I believe. It doesn't work that way, and let me explain that to you. When I got married, I didn't say, I'll take Alma, well, I was going to say Alma Myers, I can't take Alma Myers. I took Alma Rojas to be my wife, but I'm leaving my options open. Can I just tell you something? That, look, if she came to me and said, I'll marry you, but my options are open. If I want to get other guys, I'm like, that ain't happening. That doesn't fly. When you get married, you know what you're saying? I'm saying this person to the exclusion of everybody else. And when you trust Christ, you don't just pray some little prayer, and okay, that's Jesus, but I'll do these other beliefs. Doesn't work that way. You're trusting Jesus Christ, and you're rejecting anything else as a means for salvation. Amen. You say, I've not done that. We could take care of that this morning. Yeah. Every now and then, we just need to talk about that. We need to make sure that we've trusted Christ. Amen. We would be doing you a disservice in this church if we're glad you're here, and we bring you in, and we do all the things we do, but we don't let you know. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You say, I don't agree with that. You need to find out about it. Very important. But it starts with redemption. And then there's also some rejection there. Verse 24 and 25, he talks about, of chapter 1, he talks about how we're born again by the word of God. Thank God for that. Then in 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. That kind of stuff, all that we grow, that doesn't last forever. But, verse 25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Verse 1, wherefore ties it into the previous verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking. In other words, because we are saved and we have the word, that is the truth that was preached unto us, that word by which we heard about the truth of salvation, because of all of that, you need to lay aside these things and reject them. Why? Because if we don't, those are going to hinder our faith. We can't grow if there's not something happening in our lifestyle. It's going to be a hindrance. You see, Peter talks about, I think it's maybe 2 Peter, he goes, add to your faith, and he talks about all these things that we're supposed to add to our faith, and I don't have them all memorized. The first one, there's virtue, there's knowledge, and there's the other ones, and they're mentioned in not just a list of things to add, they're listed in order of importance. He says, and add to your faith virtue. And then whatever the other ones are. I know there's knowledge, brotherly love. There's a few others. But he doesn't just name them. You add virtue, you know, knowledge, brotherly love, blah, 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 blah. They're mentioning specific order. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, that puts them in a category. That puts them in a sequence. You know what the first one at the top of the sequence is? Virtue. Virtue deals with the way you live. See, because if the way you live is not changing, you're going to have a hard time accepting what the Bible says. I got saved in 10th grade. I didn't grow in the Lord. I had all my issues. I got out of high school. I started going to church. I started trying to learn the Word of God and grow. And I didn't know any better. Now, I did know some things. Number one, I quit hanging around my friends, and no one told me. I'm like, I know I can't hang around those guys. Robert, sorry about that, buddy, but I couldn't go to your house anymore. And Dave, I didn't know where you were at. I would have quit hanging around with you if I was hanging around with you in the first place. Like, I can't hang around with those guys. And I would go home and listen. I didn't know any better, Brother Jim. We didn't have CDs or MP3s. Oh, I had all this rock music. I had hundreds of albums. My sister, she was an old 70s and 60s rocker. She gave me all of hers. And maybe I'm dumb. Don't say amen. I would go home and I'd read my Bible and that was good. And I'd sit there and I'd start playing my music. Do you know what? It did not take long before I'm like, you know what's funny here? What I'm reading and what I'm listening to do not go together. Yeah. And I remember saying, my pastor didn't get up and harp on it, although he did occasionally, but not in the early days there. I didn't hear it. I'm like, that's got to go. And I don't know, it was Tuesday night or whatever. I took an empty trash can and I threw all of them in there and threw them away. You know why? Because if I didn't get that out of my life, Tim, that was going to hinder me. I realized the two didn't go together. It's like mixing oil and water. You get these salad dressings and they're like 27 levels. You shake them up. You know what happens as soon as you get done shaking them up? They separate. Don't you think they separate when you throw them on salad? That's why you ought to eat steak. Steak's good. Steak sauce doesn't separate. Snap out of it, all right? But all this stuff, and you have to watch the way you're living. It's got to start working on you right away. So there's some rejection there. James tells us the same thing in chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, wherefore, lay apart. The other ones lay aside. Lay apart all filthiness. And this phrase, superfluity of naughtiness. Goes, what is that? I don't know. It doesn't sound good. You know what it means? Superfluity means like overflowing. It's a word they would use like weeds overtaking a garden. He says, you got to lay that aside. All that naughtiness. You know, the kid, you're naughty. Okay? It's like, think of it as overflowing of wickedness. Just all this stuff overflowing your life. He goes, lay that aside. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Save there is salvage. Says, why does he mention that in conjunction with the Bible like Peter did? Oh, that's a coincidence. No, because one hinders the other. Got to be very careful. Always be willing to make changes in your life. Or else the Word of God will have little effect on you, and you're not going to grow. And God wants us to grow. So I want you to see the preparation. Then I want you to see the picture. He says, as newborn babes. Verse 2 of chapter 2, as newborn babes. This picture tells them what level a new Christian starts at. You know what we start at? When you first got saved, we're babes. Everything is new in the faith. I'd sit in church and the pastor would say, open your Bibles to, I was going to say Hezekiah, that's not a book of the Bible. Open your books to Jonah. I've heard of Jonah. I've never heard a message in the book of Jonah. Yeah. Or he'd mention someone. Turn to Amos. Amos? Now, I had to look in the table of contents to find it. But, man, it was there. And all these, and I'm like, wow, it was so exciting. Everything was new. I had no idea where it was at. Because I was a babe. He'd talk about principles. I remember one time, Pastor Jim Black, he was out of town, and Brother Sisson preached on a Wednesday night. It's like, we're going to talk about the Trinity. And man, he just went verse by verse. I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. I kind of heard about it. I didn't really get it. It was all new to me. But I was excited about it. Why? I was a babe. Now, hopefully, if someone says, what's the Trinity? I'm like, Trinity, what's that? Okay? I hope I've been through a few rodeos. Not my first one. Listen, we need to grow. The picture is we start as a babe and we go from there. He wants us to grow. Maybe many of the Christians he were talking to, maybe they were new Christians. And probably because Christianity was still fairly new at that time. Maybe they were saved, but they were acting like new Christians. Paul talked about that in the book of Corinthians. But anyhow, he said you need to start there at that level and go forward. But the picture clearly shows how it works. We get saved. We're born again. At that point, we are babes in Christ. And from that point, we go forward. Let me just ask you that. Are we going forward today? Are we growing in our faith? You say, well, I'm not a babe in Christ. I've been saved for 5 years. I've been saved for 10 years. I've been faithful to church. I'm reading my Bible. Keep at it. You'll never get to the place where you arrive. I read that book many times a year, several times a year. I've read it many times, Brother Bichardo, and there's so many times I'll read it and like, wow! That kind of just jumps up and gets you. Why? That's going to happen. Oh, why? Because we don't know it all. We're constantly growing. When you quit growing, you're starting to die. By the way, the Christian life does not allow for us to stand still or skate. We're either going forward or we're going backwards. What's my encouragement this morning? Let's grow in our faith. Whatever level you're at. By the way, don't be discouraged whatever level you're at. Babies are messy. Okay? The stuff that comes out of their diaper is incredible. We had little ones. I'd help change their diaper every now and then, but I ain't doing it for the grandkids. No way. Jason had something. We were trying to have devotion last night, and Jason did something. It was horrific, Brother Pineda. So I ain't helping. That's yours. That's your kid. I love the kid. When he's clean, send him over. He's messed up. He's yours. You know? Come home. Where's my grandson? He has a messy diaper. It's like, Alma, your grandchild is messed up. Okay? They're messy. Look, don't get discouraged with the level you're at if you're going forward. You know, sometimes they start to talk, the little ones, and it's like they're trying to tell you something. And they get it in their mind a little bit, but their verbiage isn't there, and they can't quite communicate it. You ever see them like that? And they kind of like, they're trying to say it, and they're like, they'll get it. They're growing. Just what direction are you going in? Go forward. Then he also talks about the passion. As newborn babes, what's the picture that we're going to get? The picture is the passion. As newborn babes, desire. It all starts with desire. You see, it's not unusual when a person gets saved and they start going for God. It ought to be unusual when a person gets saved and doesn't go forward for God. We've never had one of our children, and this could happen sometimes if they're sick or there was something that happened in birth, but most, if a child's born healthy, they're hungry. You bring them home, and along about 2 o'clock that first night in the morning, ah! You know what that means? Hook a brother up. I'm hungry. Where's the chow? You know? Yeah. Why? And by the way, if they didn't do that, we would think, this kid hasn't eaten in 12 hours. That's not good for a newborn. Now, you ought to schedule them. That's a story for another day. But you know what? They're hungry. They have that desire. Why do you think they start sucking pacifiers? By the way, the little ones, sometimes they'll eat all the time. Like goldfish. You'll feed them till they blow up. They have a desire. Can I just tell you something? We need to have a passion to learn the Word of God. But it's not that we don't have desires. We all have desires. But the problem is we channel them so often to the wrong thing. We desire the wrong thing. So I said, well, you know, that Bible thing, I'm just not into it. Well, let me ask you, what are you into? I'm going to say this. I've been trying to prep us. I try to get into the Super Bowl slowly. But some people that come on Sunday night won't be here next week because of the Super Bowl. I hope your team loses. You say, well, Brother Myers, what are you going to do? And the Rams come back and they make it to the Super Bowl. We're having church. Now I'm going to be sick that night. Okay. I'll do, Brother Pichardo, I'll do what I did the other two times the Rams made the Super Bowl. I'll record it. I recorded when they won. Say, what'd you do when they played the Patriots? I recorded it and I never watched it. Like, I'm not going to get suicidal here. That's retarded. I'm not going to do that. But see, what we're saying is, I know you're Sunday morning. I'm good. I'm not against football, but I would look, we say, why don't we change the church service? You know why? We're not going to send the message that something is more important than church one time a year. And I make a promise to you. You come to church next Sunday night, and make sure Brother Ross gets this memo. We won't tell you. Will you record it, and no one will tell you the score. And you can go home and watch it. And have pizza and hot wings, root beer, and you can fast forward through all the dumb commercials. Passion. You ever notice children sometimes they don't have an appetite for the right food? You know why? Flaming hot Cheetos. But that is not food. You might as well eat the bag it comes in. Yeah. Yeah. Now, we sell it out here. And I'll just be honest with you, there's a reason we don't sell asparagus. I like asparagus myself. If it's covered with gravy, amen. But, you know, sometimes we don't have that right desire because we've been fed the wrong things. Now, the little ones, when they're newborns, they desire. They can only eat milk, and that's what they want. But your little children, as they get older, you know what they're going to desire? If you offered them what they wanted for dinner, they would choose cereal, right? They would choose Snickers bars. I felt something on that. You know, they would choose something that's not healthy for them. And by the way, you stuff that kid full of Snicker bars and an hour later say, hey, here's dinner. They're not going to eat it. See, that's what we do. We channel our passion for the wrong thing and we wonder why we don't have a passion or a desire for the Word of God. We got to have a desire for it. You know, it's an appetite problem. And you know, appetites can be changed. I've mentioned many times, when I grew up, I didn't like nothing. I mean, I was like meat and bread, no lettuce, tomatoes. I wouldn't eat a salad if you stuck a gun to my head. But as I went to college, I'm like, I got to learn how to eat this stuff. So I started eating it. You know, I like salad. And all those vegetables I wouldn't eat, asparagus and whatever else the girls and my wife throw at me, I eat it. Now, I won't eat beets. They give me an upset stomach. Carrots aren't my favorite. But I'll eat it. I've developed an appetite for it. You say, I don't quite understand the Word of God, and I kind of want it, but get into it. The more you get into it, the more you'll want to get into it. Let's have that. And then I want you to notice purity, the purity. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere. Sincere means pure. It's not, see, we fall for cheap imitations. I have I need some speakers because I listen to, when I'm working, I try to have some background, like, classical music or something, and the speakers in the laptop aren't that good. So I was going to get some speakers. Brother Vaughn came back. He goes, hey, I brought you something from Cambodia. And it was some Bose Bluetooth speakers. Those things are $300. When I turn it on, the Bluetooth speaks. And she has a serious Cambodian accent. She goes, "Eto to Bluetooth." At first, I didn't know what she was talking about. And I'm like, what? Eto to Bluetooth. Bluetooth connected. Can I tell you something? It says Bose on it, but it's not. Okay? It doesn't sound like Bose either. Now, it's good for what I use it for. But that's a fake imitation. I mentioned before, my daughter got me a Gucci bag when she was in Cambodia. Man, the stitches fell out of that thing. It was falling apart after 3 months. Gucci, nothing. But you know what we do? He says, desire the sincere, the pure word. But we fall for all kinds of substitutes. By the way, let's be very careful. In Christianity, there's a lot of substitutes out there. Look, Joel Osteen is a substitute. But he just makes me feel good about myself. You know, sometimes you need to feel bad about yourself before you feel good, right? Okay, let's make sure we're getting the truth. But it just sounds good. Dr. Phil and Oprah said that this is their book of the month. La-di-da. Hey, I got a book of the month for you, the Bible. And that's the book of the month every month. Don't fall for cheap substitutes. God's word tells us the foundation for a growing, vibrant Christian life. Let's not fall for substitutes. Watered down. We went Saturday. We don't go on Saturday nights or anything, but some of us went to shop and get some shoes for my wife, and we stopped at L&L Barbecue over here. Now, usually L&L is pretty good, but they're all independently owned, and they're not all as good as the others. And so I want to help you with this. Don't go to the one by the Cerritos Mall. It's not good. But they had the barbecue sauce there. And I said, I'm going to get a little bit of barbecue sauce. It was watered. You could tell they just added a bunch of water to that. And you taste it, it tastes like watered down. It's a cheap substitute. I don't want that. I used it because it's all they had, but it's not what I want. I like the thick stuff. I want the real deal. Why would we want less in our Christian life? Let's not try to grow off false substitutes. Let's get into the Word of God. And then we see the progression. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. In other words, that's a good starting point, but don't get stuck there. If your physical age was the same as your spiritual age, what would you look like? Now, by the way, many of you, you've been in here. We've had so many new people are constantly coming and growing, and thank God for that, and that's okay. But if you've been saved for 20 years, and if you were to transform yourself physically speaking into what you are spiritually, and you're walking around here in diapers after 20 years, that's not a good thing. I want our kids out of diapers before 2 years old. Okay, why? Saves a boatload of money. Those things are expensive. And it's much more pleasant. They don't walk around smelling like a yak. You know, it's like it's time. There's the restroom. Go use it. You know, celebrate growth. We had a celebration party when Emily was potty trained, our last one. And it's like, so we told her, if you go all week and you don't have an accident, we'll take you to McDonald's. The whole family will go. By the way, you know how I feel about McDonald's. It's garbage. So you know that was really a party. And Emily had a great week, 2 years old, all week. So she's potty trained. We took her to McDonald's, and while we're waiting for the food, she has an accident. Like, what happened here? I didn't realize that. McDonald's is garbage. Here's the point. Don't stay where you're at. Let's go. Let's go forward. Let's grow in our faith. And the last thing, we won't spend any time. We've went too long. What is the product? The milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know what will happen? You'll grow. Growth is natural. Growth is not something you force. A healthy child does not need to be forced to grow. They will naturally grow as long as everything's right. Well, none of God's children are stillborn. We're all born again, and we're healthy and ready for growth. And so, let's do it. Let's grow, and let's get to where God wants us to do. Why are we pushing you to get into the Bible? Because I want you to grow. I don't want you to just come to church when you have time and, yeah, it's okay, and tell me a couple funny stories so it'll feel good, and I gave God his time. It's not going to help you. That is not going to help when you have a tragedy in life. That is not going to help when there's a relationship problem. It is not going to help when some temptation comes your way and you don't have the strength to say, that's a bunch of junk. Some person at work tries to text you or tries to take a work relationship a step too far. Listen, you've learned that here. Don't let that go. You got to grow in your faith. Let's not just carry our Bibles. Let's get in them. Let's not just be satisfied with where we're at right here. Let's say, thank the Lord I'm where I'm at, but I'm going to go forward. God wants us to grow. Let's all stand together this morning.